Have you ever thought about what kerosene actually is? I mean, really thought about it. We pump it into our airplanes, we burn it, and we turn it into carbon dioxide, water vapor, and forward motion. We've been doing this since the dawn of the jet age, and for 70 plus years, nobody had a serious alternative. Batteries are too heavy. Biofuels are too scarce. Sustainable aviation fuel is just reshuffled hydrocarbons with a green label. But there's another molecule, one that when you run it through a fuel cell, produces exactly two things. Electricity and water. That's it. No carbon, no particulates, no guilt. I'm Vector, and this is Clear Direct on Radio Hangar. Today we're talking about ZeroAvia and their hydrogen electric powertrain, which might be the most credible pathway to genuinely zero emission regional flight. Or it might be a beautiful engineering dead end. Let's break this down. This segment is supported by AviationSoul.com. If you've hit a milestone in your flying, first solo, instrument ticket, CFI, they make aviation challenge coins that actually feel like they mean something beautifully crafted, built to last. Check them out at aviationsoul.com. So here's the basic idea behind ZeroAvia. You take compressed hydrogen gas, you feed it into a proton exchange membrane fuel cell, and the fuel cell converts that hydrogen into electricity through an electrochemical reaction. No combustion, no turbine. The electricity drives an electric motor, and the electric motor turns a propeller. The byproduct is water. That's the pitch. And on paper, it's spectacular. The company was founded in 2017 by Val Miftikoff, a physicist and serial entrepreneur who'd previously built a company in the smart home space. He looked at the aviation decarbonization problem and concluded that batteries alone would never have the energy density to power meaningful commercial flights. And he was right about that. Lithium-ion batteries today store roughly 250 watt-hours per kilogram. Jet fuel stores about 12,000 watt-hours per kilogram. Even accounting for the efficiency advantages of electric motors over turbines, batteries lose that race badly for anything beyond about 100 nautical miles with a useful payload. Hydrogen, though. Hydrogen stores roughly 33,000 watt-hours per kilogram. That's almost three times the energy density of jet fuel by mass. Now, there's a massive caveat we'll get to, but on the energy content alone, hydrogen is the most energy-dense fuel in the universe. Literally, there's nothing better. ZeroAvia's approach is not to burn the hydrogen in a modified turbine, which is what some other companies are exploring. They're using fuel cells, which are fundamentally more efficient. A turbine converts maybe 30 to 40% of fuel energy into useful work. A fuel cell can hit 50 to 60%, so you're extracting more usable energy per kilogram of hydrogen, which partially offsets the storage challenges. And storage is where this gets complicated. Here's what most people miss. Hydrogen is incredibly energy dense by weight, but it's absurdly energy sparse by volume. At standard atmospheric pressure, a kilogram of hydrogen takes up about 11 cubic meters. That's a cube roughly 7 feet on a side. For 1 kilogram, you obviously can't fly with that. So you have two options, compress it or liquefy it. ZeroAvia's current approach uses compressed gaseous hydrogen at roughly 300 to 700 bar. That's 300 to 700 times atmospheric pressure. At 700 bar, you get about 40 grams per liter, which is workable but still requires tanks that are significantly larger and heavier than a conventional fuel tank carrying the equivalent energy in kerosene. Liquid hydrogen is denser, about 71 grams per liter, but it has to be stored at minus 253 degrees Celsius. That's 20 degrees above absolute zero. The insulation, the cryogenic systems, the boil-off management, it's an engineering nightmare for a small aircraft. Airbus is exploring liquid hydrogen for their ZeroE concept on large airliners, but for the regional aircraft ZeroAvia is targeting, compressed gas is the more practical near-term path. Now let's talk about what they've actually done, not just what they've promised, because in the eVTOL and future flight space, promises are cheap, hardware is expensive. In September of 2020, ZeroAvia flew a modified Piper M-Class, a six-seat aircraft powered by their hydrogen electric powertrain out of Cranfield Airport in England. It was a short flight, a few circuits around the pattern, but it was a real airplane with a real hydrogen fuel cell system producing real thrust that made it the largest hydrogen fuel cell aircraft to fly at that point. In January of 2023, they flew a 19-seat Dornier 228 twin-engine aircraft with one of its two engines replaced by their ZA-600 powertrain. This was a much bigger deal. The Dornier 228 is a real commuter aircraft, not a proof-of-concept toy. They flew it out of Cotswold Airport in Gloucestershire with a mix of hydrogen fuel cell and battery power on the left engine, while the right engine remained a conventional turboprop for safety. The flight lasted about 10 minutes and reached an altitude of roughly 2,500 feet. That brings us to their product roadmap, and this is where you have to put on your skepticism goggles. ZeroAvia has announced two main powertrains. the ZA600, which targets 600 kilowatts and is designed for 9 to 19-seat aircraft with a range of roughly 300 nautical miles. And the ZA2000, targeting 2 to 5 megawatts for 40 to 80-seat regional aircraft with similar range. The ZA600 is the nearer-term product. They've been saying certification by 2025 or 2026, though as of now in 2026, they haven't achieved type certification yet. They're working with the Civil Aviation Authority in the UK and the FAA in the US, and they've secured a supplemental type certificate pathway, meaning they're modifying existing aircraft types rather than certifying an entirely new airframe. That's smart because it avoids the decade-long billion-dollar slog of clean sheet aircraft certification. Their partner aircraft for the ZA600 include the Dornier 228 and potentially the de Havilland Canada-8. For the ZA2000, they've talked about the ATR-72. Which is one of the most common regional turboprops in the world, with over 1,000 in service. Let me give you some numbers that matter for pilots thinking about this practically. A conventional Dornier 228 with two Honeywell TPE 331 turboprops burns roughly 350 to 400 pounds of jet fuel per hour. Zero Avia's hydrogen system for that aircraft would need roughly 40 to 50 kilograms of hydrogen per hour for equivalent performance. The hydrogen itself weighs less than the jet fuel for the same energy, but the tanks weigh significantly more. Current compressed hydrogen tanks at 700 bar achieve about 5 to 6% gravimetric efficiency, meaning the hydrogen is only 5 to 6% of the total tank system weight. The rest is carbon fiber composite pressure vessel, liner, valves, and regulators. So for 50 kilograms of usable hydrogen, you need a tank system weighing roughly 800 to 1,000 kilograms. Compare that to a conventional fuel system where the tank itself is a relatively thin aluminum structure, and the fuel does almost all the weighing. This is the fundamental mass penalty of hydrogen, and it's why range is limited compared to kerosene-powered aircraft of the same size. 300 nautical miles sounds limiting, and it is compared to a conventional turboprop 600 to 800 nautical mile range. But here's the counterargument. And it's a strong one. Look at actual regional airline route data. A huge percentage of commercial flights under 19 seats operate legs of 200 nautical miles or less. Island hopping in Hawaii, intercity routes in Scandinavia, Scottish Highland services, Caribbean island pairs. For those missions, 300 nautical miles is plenty, and the operating cost advantage of hydrogen could be transformative. Zero Avia claims their fuel costs will be roughly 50% lower than jet fuel, and their maintenance costs significantly reduced because fuel cells have no combustion, no hot section, no turbine blades to inspect and replace. Electric motors have one moving part. The maintenance interval math is compelling. A Pratt & Whitney PT6, a turboprop, goes to overhaul roughly every 3,500 to 5,000 hours. An electric motor could theoretically go tens of thousands of hours between major service events. But, and this is a big but, fuel cell durability is still an open question in aviation applications. Automotive fuel cells in vehicles like the Toyota Mirai are designed for 5,000 to 8,000 hours of operation, but they operate in a relatively benign environment. Aviation fuel cells face altitude changes, pressure variations, temperature extremes, vibration, and the requirement for absolute reliability. The degradation curve of a PEM fuel cell in an aviation environment is not yet well characterized over tens of thousands of hours because nobody has run one that long in an airplane. The data tells an interesting story when you look at Zero Avia's funding and partnerships. They've raised over $150 million across multiple rounds, with investors including Bill Gates's Breakthrough Energy Ventures, Amazon's Climate Pledge Fund, British Airways' parent company IAG, United Airlines Ventures, and Alaska Air Group. Those are not speculative investors. Those are companies that operate airplanes and have looked at the engineering and decided this has a real chance. They also have letters of intent for over 1,500 engines. That's not the same as firm orders with deposits, so take it with appropriate seasoning. But it signals market interest from operators who are staring at carbon regulations in Europe, potential carbon taxes, and the simple economics of fuel price volatility. And this brings up something pilots in the room should be paying attention to. The European Union's Fit for 55 package and the UK's Jet Zero strategy are both pushing hard for aviation decarbonization. Emissions trading schemes are making carbon increasingly expensive for airlines. Norway has said it wants all short-haul flights to be zero emission by 2040. For operators in these markets, hydrogen isn't a nice to have. It's becoming a regulatory imperative. Now, let me address the elephant in the hangar. The hydrogen infrastructure problem. You can build the most beautiful hydrogen powertrain in the world, but if there's no hydrogen available at the airports where you operate, you're not going anywhere. Today, most hydrogen is produced by steam methane reforming, which strips hydrogen from natural gas but releases carbon dioxide in the process. This is called gray hydrogen, and it doesn't solve the emissions problem, it just moves it upstream. Green hydrogen, produced by electrolysis of water using renewable electricity, is the only version that's truly zero emission. But green hydrogen currently costs roughly $4 to $8 per kilogram compared to $1 to $2 for gray hydrogen. At the volumes ZeroAvia needs and with the trajectory of electrolyzer costs and renewable energy prices, the industry expects green hydrogen to reach cost parity with gray hydrogen somewhere around 2030, give or take. ZeroAvia is actually trying to address this by developing their own airport hydrogen refueling infrastructure. They've partnered with several airports in the UK and are working on modular hydrogen production and storage systems that could be deployed at regional airports. The idea is electrolyzers on-site powered by grid renewable energy or dedicated solar and wind installations producing hydrogen right where the airplanes need it. No trucking, no pipeline, local production. It's ambitious and it's the kind of vertical integration that either makes a company or bankrupts it. Let me put this in context against the competition. Airbus is working on hydrogen for large commercial aircraft with their zero concepts, but they're targeting 2035 at the earliest for entry into service. And they're looking at both hydrogen combustion in modified turbines and hydrogen fuel cells. Universal Hydrogen, before they hit financial difficulties, was working on a modular hydrogen capsule system for the Dash 8 Heist Fly in Germany flew a fuel cell-powered Dornier 228 and set an altitude record for hydrogen electric flight. And then there are the pure battery electric companies like Heart Aerospace with the ES-30, which uses a hybrid approach with batteries and turbogenerators. ZeroAvia's advantage is that they're further along in flight testing a fuel cell system at a commercially relevant scale than almost anyone else. Their disadvantage is that they're a startup trying to certify a fundamentally new propulsion technology while simultaneously building the fuel infrastructure to support it. That's two enormous challenges at once. For general aviation pilots wondering whether this affects us directly, the honest answer is not yet, but probably eventually. The ZA600 powertrain produces 600 kilowatts, which is about 800 horsepower. That's in the range of a large turboprop single or a light twin. If ZeroAvia can get the weight and volume of the hydrogen storage down, and if green hydrogen becomes cheap and widely available, you could imagine a hydrogen electric Cessna Caravan or King Air equivalent within the next 15 to 20 years. The Caravan is one of the most utilitarian airplanes in the world, flying cargo, passengers, and humanitarian missions on relatively short legs. A hydrogen electric Caravan with 300 nautical miles of range and dramatically lower fuel and maintenance costs would be revolutionary for operators in Alaska, the Pacific Islands, sub-Saharan Africa, and anywhere else the Caravan currently dominates. But I want to be honest with you, the timeline has slipped. The technology works in demonstration. Scaling it, certifying it, and building the ecosystem around it are all harder problems than the physics. ZeroAvia originally talked about commercial service by 2025. That's clearly not happening. 2028 to 2030 for the ZA600 on a 19-seat aircraft is more realistic, and even that requires everything to go right with certification, manufacturing scale-up, and hydrogen infrastructure. The physics says this should work. The engineering says this can work. The economics say this might work, depending on carbon pricing and green hydrogen costs. The timeline says be patient. What I find genuinely exciting about ZeroAvia's approach is that they're not trying to reinvent the airplane. They're trying to reinvent the engine. You keep the Dornier, you keep the Dash 8, you keep the airframes that operators know and trust, you just swap the power plant. That's a fundamentally more conservative and certifiable approach than designing a brand new aircraft from scratch. And in aviation, conservative approaches that actually ship beat radical designs that stay in PowerPoint. If this works, and I think the probability is real, but not certain, it changes regional aviation completely. Imagine flying from Bar Harbor to Boston, or Nantucket to JFK, or Orkney to Edinburgh, on a 19-seat turboprop that produces nothing but water vapor. No carbon, no soot, no noise from turbine exhaust, because the electric motor and propeller are dramatically quieter. Airports that are fighting noise complaints and environmental opposition to expansion suddenly have an answer. The data tells me ZeroAvia is the most advanced hydrogen fuel cell aviation company in the world right now. The data also tells me they have at least 3 to 5 years of hard certification and infrastructure work ahead before a single fare-paying passenger sits behind a hydrogen powertrain. Both of those things are true simultaneously. This one draws from ZeroAvia's own published flight test data, the Royal Aeronautical Society's hydrogen aviation reports, and analysis from the International Council on Clean Transportation. If you want to go deep, the UK Aerospace Technology Institute has a great public report on hydrogen infrastructure requirements for aviation. More at radiohanger.com. I'm Vector. Hydrogen might not be the future of all flight, but for the short regional hops that connect communities to the rest of the world, it might be the future that actually arrives. See you next time.